Someone else's journey is our lesson.
We used to say, the difficult we do immediately, the impossible just takes a little more time.
Someone else's lesson is our gift.
I believe part of our responsibility is really to equip and inspire our students to ask those difficult questions.
Be encouraged by the stories that lift us all.
I came to Howard because I wanted to be the President of the United States.
Somebody saw something in me, and it's my duty to be that person for somebody else.
Now, join Dr. Wayne Frederick, President of Howard University, and his guest on The Journey.
She calls herself academically wild because her journey has been a walk through many different disciplines. As she moved from Liverpool, England to Washington, D.C., she took on some of the toughest academic challenges and triumphed over them all. She's an example of Howard University's century and a half of excellence. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today on The Journey is a 2016 graduate, Dr. Michaela Amu. Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Frederick.
So you were born and raised in Liverpool, England.
I sure was.
Okay. What was that like compared to your move to the U.S.? What was Liverpool, England like at that time?
Liverpool is the oldest black community in Europe, and it's different because it's African. It's not West Indian. We've been there for about 400 or 500 years. But it's a tiny little community, and Liverpool in and of itself is very racist. So it's much better here.
Okay.
We'll just say that.
All right. And tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, now there's a thing. You mean before I came to Howard?
Yeah. And your ancestry, your parents' background.
So let's see, I'm Ghanaian, Nigerian, Irish, and Portuguese. One of my grandfathers is Ghanaian, the other grandfather is Nigerian. My great-grandmas are Portuguese and Irish.
Mm-hmm.
I come from a port town, Liverpool. It's different because it's like just a mixture because most of our fathers or forefathers are seamen. It's a huge mixture of people. I grew up there, went to a Catholic school, went to school in a convent, how about that?
Mm.
Left school, wrote music for a while, was a police officer, and left the police force to come back to school and do my undergrad.
And what brought you to Howard? Why Howard University?
So we don't have black schools in England. And I wanted to be with people who look like me, basically. I wanted to study under people who look like me. I wanted to have that experience.
And what was your interest at that time when you first entered Howard in terms of your academic interests?
Oh, so I wanted to be a criminal lawyer. I was always going to be a criminal lawyer. When I came to Howard, when I decided I was going to come to school in America, I discovered that in America, a law degree is a professional degree, so you go to undergraduate first. I was originally going to go to Liverpool University and do my law degree there. And so I came here, and I came in as an international business major. So I was an honors student at the School of Business. And the plan was to finish my undergraduate degree and go on and do a dual PhD in law and philosophy. That was the plan.
But while you were in undergrad, you obviously had other interests outside of international business. Tell us a little bit about that.
So it kind of happened by accident. So in England, you go to university, you do the thing that you go to university for. So if I'd have gone to school in England, I'd have done straight law or straight business. But I got here and they were like, oh, you've got to do these electives. I was like, what's an elective? They're like, oh, you've got to take Philosophy 101. So I went to Philosophy 101 and then I fell in love with philosophy, you know. And then I had to take all of these English courses and I fell in love with English. And I had to take math courses and I fell in love with math. And I just kept falling in love with stuff. It was just... So it was being exposed to so many different fields gives you a greater understanding of what you really like.
And so that resulted in you earning 3 bachelor's degrees in that year.
Yes.
Philosophy, actuarial science, insurance, and mathematics.
That's correct.
All right. Now, once you did that, you finished your undergrad, tell me a little bit about why your next step took you to electrical and computer engineering?
It was a huge cosmic accident. So I'd been accepted to Tufts, and I was going to go and do my master's in philosophy and then go ahead and do my dual PhD in law and philosophy. I was constitutional law and philosophy. Sounded like a plan. And all the way through undergrad, you know, I'd written these long, laborious papers arguing about this and that and thinking about thinking. And about a month before I was due to start Tufts, it was like the beginning of August, I had gone to electrical engineering to fix a computer. And I was talking to the chair, and we were talking about virtual reality and how nice it would be if we could make virtual reality schools and connect all of the children of the world, you know, to each other. And I jokingly asked him, I was like, can I be an engineer? And he was like, well, can I see your transcript? And I ran up and got a transcript off my desk and ran back with it and gave it to him. And he said, sure, you can be an engineer. And that's basically how it happened.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Michaela Amu. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. I'd like to switch gears a little bit. You, unfortunately, were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. When was that? And tell us a little bit about that aspect of your journey.
So that's when I was doing my master's. It's 2005. And I was diagnosed via SCVS, superior vena cava syndrome. Mm-hmm. So I didn't actually know I was sick. I felt like I was being choked. And I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, oh, you've got a chest infection. He gave me some antibiotics. And it got worse, and he gave me some more antibiotics. And this went on for about 3 or 4 months. And I started to swell up because I'm really little. People didn't think I was swollen, and I was saying to people, I look like Mike Tyson. And they were like, no, you don't look like Mike Tyson. And eventually, I think my temperature was like 108 degrees. And I was really badly swollen. I went to the hospital, and they took me in. It took them about a week to actually find the tumor. So thymic B cell was sitting on my thymus gland, and it was compressing my vena cava. And so the blood had stopped flowing. The blood had stopped flowing, and I was swelling up. And that's basically how I was diagnosed. And that was in 2005.
Okay. Now, what types of treatment did you have to undergo? And while you were doing that, how did that impact your decision as to what you would do next and how you would manage those things?
Well, I had chemo. I had a full regime of R-CHOP, which took about 4 months. And then I had 13 weeks of radiation. To get rid of the tumor bed. So for the fall semester, I took the fall semester off because I was getting chemo and my hair fell out and I was shiny bald. And then after Christmas, I started radiation and I really didn't want to be sick. So I went back to work and I did my radiation treatment and I wrote my master's thesis and graduated in the spring of 2005. Mm-hmm. But I think that's what made me stay and finish my PhD here. I think all of my doctors were here. I found my advisor, and he was the only, one of the only professors at the time that was specializing in reconfigurable computing hardware. And I kind of fallen in love with that while I was doing my master's. So I was tempted to transfer out because I'd done my undergrad and my master's at Howard University, but I was like, I may as well stay now.
Okay. So now, obviously, you decided to stay to do your PhD, as you were just alluding to, in a very specified area, reconfigurable computing and hardware design. Tell us a little bit about what that entails and what the primary focus of your research was.
Okay, so I design processors, the things that make your computers work, silicon processors. And there's two sides to processors. There's a material science side, where they actually grow the material and manufacture the actual processor. And then there's people like me who actually design what that processor looks like in terms of circuits and transistors. So basically, it's down at a transistor level. And I specialize in floating point hardware, which is basically the stuff that crunches numbers, adders, multipliers. It's all really boring. And I particularly specialize in application-specific hardware, which means that if you have an application or an algorithm, I will make a processor that just crunches that algorithm. So it's really specific. So I could design a processor, and I could put it on an FPGA, and it could go on a satellite, and it could go up to Mars, and 3 weeks later, NASA could say to me, hey, we need it for it to do something else. And I could design a completely different processor, and I could basically reconfigure the hardware while it was in space to do something completely different.
To tie that into a bit of your background, as well as when we talk about computing today and the power of computing, looking at rural communities around the world, what is your perspective as to how we bring computing to them?
So computers have got kind of to the stage where they're as fast as, just a standard computer has got to the stage, it's as fast as it's going to get, and it's probably as cheap as it's going to get, but it's not as kind of useful as it can be. So in terms of rural communities, one of the great things is the internet, right? Because nowadays people don't need to invest a lot of money in technology. They can have a smartphone, or they can have things that have been designed just for them. And one of the nice things about what I can do is I can go and look at a community and I can see what they need in terms of technology, and I can make something that is specifically just for them. Mm.
Now, you participated in commencement in 2016. Tell me what your impression was of President Obama's commencement address to the graduates.
Wow, I've had this conversation so many times since commencement. So I think that the media kind of picked up on certain points. But I think for the graduates sitting on the field, one of the most important things he said was when he said, be confident in your blackness. And he pointed out to us that we come from this rich tradition that is Howard University, and that that's something that we should go out and be proud of, and that we should go into the world and be confident in who we are. And for me, that was a really inspiring speech, because it wasn't like pretend to be something else. It was like, be the thing that you are and be the best that you can be, and let them know how you got to be the best that you could be.
So as we close, what's next for you? Now that you have these 5 degrees, if I count correctly, in the past 16 years or so, 15 years, what's next?
So I'm really into research, believe it or not, and I'm really interested in a research environment where you can take products to market, make them useful. So what I'd like to do is work with the undergraduates and the graduate students. And I'm very interdisciplinary, so I tend to work across fields. And so we're looking at a project now, for instance, with the biology department, where we can pair an electrical engineering undergrad with a biology undergrad. And we're going to give them an incubator. And we're going to have the biology student do a very simple experiment in the incubator, and we're going to have the electrical engineer look at the incubator and say, okay, what sensors can I attach to this incubator that will make it more useful? Can I tell them when a plant has grown 1 inch? Can I tell them when the thing has been contaminated? And this sort of research and doing these sorts of really simple experiments gives you products that the university can literally take to market. They can go to manufacturers and say, this is what our students have done. This is really useful in the field. Would you like to buy?
Excellent. Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Michaela Amu, 5-time graduate of Howard University. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne Frederick on the Howard University Radio Network.
This is Harold Fisher, The Daily Drum is more than news, sports, and weather. It's information, conversation, edification. I talk to the newsmakers and other great guests that make you think. You're not just listening. You are part of the process with your phone calls. You can find me on Facebook/Harold T. Fisher or follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR. Join me, Harold Fisher, from 7 to 7:30 p.m. for The Daily Drum on 96.3 WHUR, The Adult Mix.